This is a Pinball News production.
Tonight's going to be a little bit different. We got to get the RGP people and the Pinside people to do something. And then about 10:45, we've got the Pinball Donut Girl video, which, of course, we don't have a projector or anything. The man with the beer has disappeared. So I guess as LTG shows go, this one is just about normal. So who here all posts on RGP, and especially if you use an acronym or something, don't post as your real name? Would you come up here, please? Please, pretty please. Come on, come on. Don't be scared. Don't be shy. I don't bite, unless you want me to. Oh, cool. Pardon? Yeah, come on up, Dave. Okay. Yeah, we let your kind in here, too. Okay, now, who here is pretty much solely posts on Pinside? Nobody? You, come on. Come on, guys. Come up, please. We're giving everybody a chance to put names and faces together and make new friends and all kinds of happy stuff. So, one at a time, would you please come by, say hi or something, and mingle? Let's start on the RGP side. You don't post, do you?
I post as Ross.
Yeah, okay.
My name's Ross. I post as Ross from Minnesota.
My name's Doug. I post as Spacebo. I'm out of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
My name's Chris. I post as Toxic Cow or UMOP from North Carolina.
That's you?
That's me.
My name is John. I post as Les Manley on RGP and Pinside.
Yeah. Hey. I'm Cheryl. I post mostly as Georgia Girl, but I've been lurking more or less for the last year. I'm not the only one that's thoroughly disgusted with Frankfurter, and if we can get him to leave, I might start posting on a regular basis.
Yeah, is he here?
I'm Frank. No, I'm not. I'm Joe. I'm under Calvin 12 usually, and I'm from around here, so I have a short drive home at least.
Charlie from Atlanta. I ain't nobody dork.
I'm Jack from here in Island Lake, and I'm both RGP and Pinside. VDOJAQ.
Hi, I'm Charlie from Seattle. I run the Seattle Pinball Museum, and I post on Pinside and RGP as Fishbead 2.
Hi, I'm Brock. I post on RGP as Machine Slave and Pinside as Pinball Customs. And hopefully there are no Williams lawyers in the building.
Hi, I'm Rick, Southern Indiana, and I post as Romulus Sax on Pinside and RGP.
I've already gone.
Hi, I'm David Marston. I've been around on RGP since before the beginning. I was there on day one. I saw the creation of RGP. I post there now as D. Marston. I used to post as Marston from Dartmouth. And I also post on Pinside as D. Marston. So I'm bipartisan here, as you can see. The very rare and collectible RGP lanyard and the Pinside sticker.
Hi, Bruce Nightingale. I'm one of Frankfurter's best buddies, not. And I post both as on RGP and Pinside. And I'm not going to China to get my stuff, so that's easy enough.
I'm Buddy. I'm post under Dose Lingers on Pinside and maybe my real name on our rack games.
Chris, JetZXI on both.
Name is Mike, posted as Chicago 67.
I'm Mike Shevchak. I post as Shevchak M or DK Pinball on either side. So.
My name's Ben. I post as TV Ben K on Pinball Bash and Pinside.
My name is John. I post as Tech Man on the Bash and Pinside.
I'm Chad. I post as Chad H, mainly on Pinside.
Cool. Now, Bruce is going to lead us in Kumbaya now.
Kumbaya, come on, everybody.
Well, that's a reason why Bruce never made the top 10. Now, if everybody could please, just like single file, go by and shake hands and say hi to everybody. Please. No, you guys are what helps make pinball great, and I really appreciate all the posting, all the sticking through, all the thick and thin, the trolls, the morons, and everything else. Because we're just trying to make our little part of pinball better. Come on. Thank you. Well, this is the cheapest way I ever killed 10 minutes. Dave's going to be sanitizing your hands shortly. Yeah, you want to be sure you got the Chicago Pinball Expo crud? You have got it. Okay, we may as well start the preliminaries because we're a ways away from the projector. We did find one, though. Who here is first time to the LTG show? Okay, would you keep your hands up? Okay, now look around the room that everybody that doesn't have a hand up, look to them for help. As the evening wears on, you've had too many pinball parts to drink, you're feeling the urge to purge, get one of these people. They will guide you out in the hall. If you puke out in the hall, it's great. I don't have to clean it up. If you puke in here, I do have to clean it up. So please, everybody, have the veterans help you. Also, we're going to have drawings for prizes. Earlier today, Wolfie was up here, wherever the hell Wolfie went, and numbered the bottoms of the chairs. So everybody, would you check the bottoms of your chairs now so you know what your number is, so when we have drawings, we don't have to look for the bottoms every time. Okay, you pass the initiation. Some of these things I do for fun, some of these things I do for you. Okay, a little bit of history about myself besides posting on Rec Games Pinball for 11 or 12 years and all kinds of things. I have a half a century in coin-op. Just completed the 40th anniversary of my business, SS Billiards. And during the course of the evening, if you've got any earth-shattering questions you've always wondered about pinball, about if Dave Marston really wears a training bra and panties, anything you ever wanted to know about pinball or coin-op, just ask me. We're still friends, right, Dave? Let me know at the end of the evening. So anyway, and one thing we learned, Martin Iab, where's Martin? We lost Martin Iab. Oh, there's Martin. Martin Iab runs Pinball News all on his own, pinballnews.com. Thank you, Martin. He always has the expo show reports up. He always has the audio that you can listen to later. One thing listening to my shows that I learned was people asking questions. The questions don't always come through really clear on the recordings. So if you ask a question, I am going to repeat it, not because I can't hear you, which I probably can't, but just so that for the recording purposes, that the people listen to it later know what the question was. Also, every year we get this caution adult language thing, and this year, once again, we're going to ask the ladies, please clean it up. It gets late in the evening, you're drinking, the shirts are coming up. Please, ladies, watch the language. We're trying for the PG rating this year. What time is it? Oh, we got about 25 minutes to try to do the projector thing. So have we got any really great questions? Hey, wait, we lost Ross. Ross, get over here. We forgot to give out the tickets. Yeah. So we do have prizes. We do have tickets. We just forgot these little things. Hey, give some to Mark. Ooh. Ooh, Jersey Jack donated us a Translate. Autograph, too. Wow. Thank you. You're quite welcome. I've been selling these things on eBay. They're gold. So anyway, back to square one. Have we got any great questions about pinball, the industry, anything? Oh, a hand. Charlie.
Did you buy new Sega or Daddy's back in the
day? Charlie Gelhaus was asking if back in the day I was buying new Data East or new Sega pins when they come out. No. No, I went through eras in my business, especially once it became solid state. Gottlieb was king up until about Black Hole. Williams, once they got rolling with Space Shuttle High Speed and everything else, never looked back. And generally in my area, when you'd see the oddball Gottlieb, the oddball Data East, the oddball Sega, you know, it's closed out cheaper pins where you needed a cheap pin for location. You didn't want to buy a top-of-the-line game, just something new. Another question. Oh, way in the back. Yes, sir.
If you care to admit it, what's the worst pin you ever bought?
Gentleman in the back wants to know the worst pin I ever bought. Judge Dredd. Not because it was a poor earner, it's because that one tried to kill me. I was taking it off my truck, and now think about this. At that time, my business was insured. My truck was insured. The game was insured. When I dropped this thing off a truck and caught it with my left arm, the only person standing there not insured was me. About ripped my left arm off. It was over a year before I could even lift my left arm up in the air. So I would say that Judge Dredd was probably my worst pin. And speaking of just left arms, I thought something else. Anybody that's got Neon Transformers, anybody that's got these great little lenticular cards and everything, and you got these little Transformers driving them, I discovered something 3 weeks ago. Had a broken wire on one. You got red and black going in. You got two whites coming out. It's about 15,000 volts. Had a broken wire. And now I'm looking at the wire. Now, not bare wire. This is shielded wire. I'm looking at the wire. I touched either the game I was on or the game next to me. Nailed myself at about 15,000 volts. Instantly, my left arm locked. I couldn't move it for 5 minutes. It still hurts to this day. So, you know, I've got hit with 110 and 220 on a regular basis. It's not that bad. But watch these little stinking Transformers. And, of course, we melted that thing and destroyed that. But that was really fun. Hi, Martin. Any other great questions? Come on, you guys got to back, bro. Yes, sir. My favorite pinball. Oh, your favorite pinball, Circus Voltaire? I don't understand. My favorite pinball machine, Capcom's Kingpin, hands down. Now, bear in mind, I'm not a great player. I pretty much suck. I move them, clean them, fix them, do everything. I rarely get to play it, but for whatever reason, I always enjoyed playing that game. It's classic Mark Ritchie. I think he knew it was probably going to be his last pin. He put a lot into it. It's a neat pin. And in Capcom, you got a lot of neat things. You've got all feature lamps, no GI lighting, so you got this great, awesome light show. It's a time game. You go into sudden death, and the flippers get real sluggish. And I've always enjoyed it. Just a fun game to play. Something that this, coin-op, both video games and pinball, is forgotten. It's coin-op entertainment. Ain't coin-op job. It's coin-op entertainment. You're supposed to have a blast doing this stuff. Bruce, do you have a question? Okay, that was a real good one. You know, when you see Bruce out in the vendor hall, he's got the playfield tippers, all kinds of neat inventions. He is better in real life. You know, stop by, buy his stuff, see his stuff, have him demonstrated. He's got the bowl full of free candy. Bruce is a great guy. Back row, yes, sir. I'm sorry, are we, the gentleman in the back row would like to know what machine gave my best return on investment. Are we talking pinball machine, video game pinball machine? It's probably going to be Medieval Madness. Attack from Mars has been neck and neck with it, but Attack from Mars has had some highs and lows. Medieval Madness just keeps cranking. In fact, I got a problem with it. The stainless steel rail that ball guy that goes all the way around the castle, you got to tear everything apart to get out of there. Up front where it bolts down, broke off, it's stainless steel. You have to TIG weld it. I don't want this thing down for a day to weld this thing. I mean, it's still to this day. I mean, we're talking 16 years later. It's still a great game. It puts a lot of other games to shame. Have we got any other great? Oh, yes, sir.
Did you end up paying all your bills in quarters?
Gentleman wants to know if I ended up paying all my bills in quarters. Well, you know, if you talk in the days when times were really good and I'd go to the bank and deposit huge bags of quarters and then write out checks for bills, kind of. Not that I went into the electric company and dumped a grand worth of quarters on the counter or anything, but yeah, this whole industry is, you know, built on one quarter at a time. You know, we got some really cool crap here to give away and stuff. Yeah, I got this camera and I got this cell phone and I got this laptop. Who wants to win a laptop? Yes, sir.
What do you think of the P3 concept that we're going that route when they're
amazing? You're talking to P-Rock. I'm sorry? Oh, man, if it comes out, I'm slinging fucking burgers. The gentleman's asking if the video pinball, whatever the hell. Oh, you mean the one where you can shoot the rocks, the asteroids? Oh, yeah, that'll haul in money for 2-3 days and then be a boat anchor. That game old gentleman's asking about the they got this really cool pinball out there in the front of the playfield. It's got like an LCD, but it's an interactive one. And, like, you got rocks going around, you flip the ball across, you blow them up like asteroids. And real cool gimmick, really fun. You know, if you had a collection, had like 20 games, it'd probably be a good addition to a collection. On route, taking in money, I look at it as, you know, a day or two at most, and that'd be a, just, you know, sit there. Well, any other great questions? Yes, sir. About a 5-pound toad. No, I'm sitting up on my counter one day working on something, and I used to have the two pop machines in the back, and I just have to look back and that. The hell's on a Pepsi machine? So I go get a ladder, climb up there, and somebody put like a 5-pound toad sitting up there looking at me. I mean, I'm sure somebody thought it was just a hilarious gag, and heaven only knows how long this toad was laying up there. And it was alive and fat and healthy and full of warts, and I went and got two shop towels and hauled it outside and threw it in a swamp out back and threw the towels out, and that would probably be up in the weirdest. I mean, the like little things like the one year I worked at Vance Carter, the biggest operator in the Midwest at that time, Monday morning, the first thing was go out and fix the pockets on all the pool tables that people are having sex on. You know, they hook their feet in the corners and just tear the hell out of the end of the pool table. And then the first guy comes in on Monday, wants to shoot, you get a service call. And this is really, you know, every time I see somebody post that, I'm thinking of putting a pinball machine out, what do you think? I'm just, oh, Jesus, you don't know what you're in for. You know, you're dealing with the public. You know, there is nothing so stupid that one of us hasn't tried it or will try it or think of trying it. Just in little things like there, you'd be stuck in a secondary locations. You know, check old posts on RGP. What happens when a gallon of bleach hits a pinball machine? What happens when you go to collect your brand new Corvette pinball machine and it's not there anymore? People just don't understand what operating is like. Any other great questions? When's the last time I beat the crap out of anybody for stealing from me? You know, the only thing I lost recently, here some years ago, Andrew Barney had loaned me this huge Pirates of the Caribbean banner from Best Buy, and when we went to take it down, somebody had taken it. And I had put out the word out on the different various news groups, I need this thing back. It's worth $500. I can't replace it. And a guy did bring it in. He seen it on a friend's wall. But he wouldn't tell me who it was. But, I mean, there's been a few instances where I've been displeased with a customer. But I don't know that I've ever actually had anybody brave enough to steal from me. No, like I had this one kid, he's like 17 years old, and he's, you know, one of these tall, skinny, overgrown. He's picking on little kids. You don't pick on people in my place. I told him, you know, you knock it off. Bring it on. Boom, I had him down the floor. I had him by the throat, and I had his hands behind his back. Then his friends are telling him later, why didn't you do something? And I'm looking at him, I outweigh him by 100 pounds, I'm on top of him, and I just threw him down. I didn't put the boots to him yet. But that's just me. I'm a lot more mellower now. Now, see, working for my dad, yeah, there was a few altercations down there, but, you know, to this day, my mother had still hit more people than I ever did. Oh, she was a lady you did not mess with. The first fall we were there, a place opened up on the end of town, and by spring it was so bad the cops would go in at 10 o'clock, everybody under 18 out. Well, they'd run out, show up at our place 5 after 10. Well, and we felt if our place wasn't good enough before 10, you don't come in after 10. And I'll never forget this. Four guys come in, they were about 16, 17. They come walking in the door. My mother told them, you know, guys, it's, you know, a little bit late be coming in here. Oh, okay, no problem. They're leaving. Last one on the way out. Fuck you, bitch. Big mistake. My ma chased him out the parking lot. He was sitting on the passenger side of the front seat, and the window was down. It's just a spring where you'd have the windows down. She hauled off and slapped him a good one. And then she told him, you go home and you tell your mother to sue me. And I'll give this young gentleman credit. He come in about a month later and apologized to her. If I ever done anything that stupid, I don't, man, I would have had trouble going back and trying to set that one right. Sadly, this guy, you see him on TV for the state fair and stuff almost every year. He'd be demonstrating like the Popeil vegetable grinder or something. And I found out here about 3-4 years ago he had some exotic cancer and died on us. You know, that's unfortunate. After, you know, 40 years of having SS Billiards, I've lost some customers. But it's just one of those things. I always admired him. That took an awful lot to come back in and apologize for something like that. Let's have a drawing. Ross. Everybody have a ticket? First. Let's do Down on the Pinball Inc. bench. We got Pins and Vids, episode 6. Al Warner was nice enough to donate one of these for us. Let's have a drawing for the Pins and Vid. Who wants to draw? Have we got a kid in here? See, Dave, you scared the kids off, Dave. Yeah, it's that parental discretion thing. You're at the LTG show at 10 o'clock at night. You're drinking beer, and parental discretion is advised? Yeah, right. We're lucky we got this far. Things do not always go smoothly. This is one of them. So who wants to be our drawer? Oh, this is for the Al Warner's Pins and Vids issue. What was that, 4 or 6? Something. 4, I'm sorry. And the lucky winner is?
350.
God, they left already. Oh, here, catch. Oh, yeah, people have never seen me throw stuff. I mean, I'd probably hit somebody way over there. Thank you. Congratulations. Hey, something else I want to cover, too. We'll give one of these away. But also, Jonathan is here, started the new pinball magazine, and this is, like, really cool. It's expensive, and there's probably going to be, what, 2-3 issues a year. But tomorrow night, the charity auction, he's getting one of these, and there's, like, a dozen people in here. The Sharps, the Dulls. Anyway, there's about a dozen people that are here that are featured in the magazine. And he's going to be having them autographing it, and he's going to auction it off for the charity auction tomorrow night at the banquet. So if you get a chance to go and help make a wish, please do. So here's for the Pinball Magazine. Would you mind helping us again? Oh, thank you. Well, that's the idea. Why don't I just leave that over here? 347. Blame that guy. I shook him up. 347. Hey, where are you going with our door prize? Bastards. Oh, well, maybe next year. Wow. 347. Twice. We lost 347. Better draw again. Yeah, mix it up this time. This is for Jonathan's Pinball Magazine. 353. Runner. Yeah, something else I want to talk about, too. Like last year, we were talking, this is like the most exciting time in pinball ever, and it's repeating this year. 1999 at Expo, they had the showed off Pinball 2000. Everybody went back to work Monday morning, got canned. And it was doom and gloom. I mean, we didn't know if we were going to be getting rubber rings, light bulbs, anything else. There is more available today because of the hobby. And look in the last year. Now, some of the things like Wizard of Oz, we're hoping it'd be out by now. And they do have the 2 games down there so you can play them and see them and stuff. But bear in mind, January 1st, 2011, the game that Jack envisioned right then and there, if he'd built that, it would have been out last December. This game is probably 4 times what he planned. We've got Stearns come out this year, Steve Ritchie's Triumphant Return to Pinball AC/DC. We just had John Borg's X-Men. We got the Transformers home game. That's one of those things you got to see how it goes. Not everybody is a pinball expert. Not everybody reads RGP or Pinside. Not everybody's got $3,000 to blow on a home pin. But if it keeps Stern afloat, if it gets some new interest. And one thing I've noticed this past year that I've never, ever seen in my industry, everybody's got these little fucking phones and shit, and they're playing their pinballs on them. And the people that have never seen pinball, I mean, here everybody in this room knows what a pinball machine is. We got people playing this crap and never seen a pinball. They are searching them out. So if Stern does something with his home game and makes money, more power to him. Then we got a little cottage industries. We got Highway Pinball started up. We got the P-Rock guys still going. We got Ben Heck and John Papaduke working on their games. I mean, we're going from, oblivion to 2 or 3 major manufacturers and 2 or 3 smaller ones. And plus, there are more parts available now than when Williams was open. So we are living in some really precious times. Any other great questions? The years of the heyday of pinball, there never were any. Yeah, bear in mind, I would call the zenith of pinball 92 to 96. Adams to Medieval Madness, some of the best games ever built. The same time we saw the player base decimated, and I was wrong about that. Innocently here about 5-6 years ago when I was finally raising prices I should have done 3 or 4 years sooner. My web host, Greg Kemnitz, sitting back there. Hi, Greg! He loves to dig on the internet, and he found a U.S. government cost of living index. Now, the first 50-cent pin was Black Knight, 1981. And then while I was busy doing this, Greg looks this up, and he said, do you know you should have gone to 75 cents in 1991? You know, the players were there. The money, and I, at the time, I was taking in good numbers, but I was losing ground. And it's little things. Light bill goes up $20. Phone bill goes up $5. Rent goes up $100. And it's little things we're picking away. But any industry where you take, all of a sudden, the money coming in is worth half as much. By the mid-90s, it was a roller coaster to hell. Ops quit buying. Distributors quit ordering. Manufacturers were going under. You know, some of the best games ever built, but it was the money. It wasn't the games. It was the money. Like here, when was it? 5 years ago, the first time gas hit $4 a gallon. Everybody wanted to run the oil companies up the flagpole and hang them. That's where it should have been. Our dollar was worth that little. Milk was $5 a gallon. Not one person bitched about that at the time. But anyway, if we're going to pick an era of pinball that I would consider the zenith was 92 to 96, but that was the same time it went to hell. The other side of the coin with pinball, pinball's never had a fad. You know, video games had a little fad in 75 and then the big fad in 79, 81. But pinball's always grown by leaps. You know, you had the tabletop games, they're mechanical, they added batteries, they added electronics. Okay, then we eventually had the light-up numbers on the back for scoring. Then we had score reels, had pop bumpers that worked, had flippers. Thanks to Steve Kordick, we had flippers in the right spot. They went solid state, they went two-level. Caveman was the first to add a monitor, Pinball 2000 monitor. You know, Wizard of Oz is going to be the next leap. But pinball's never like really had the fad. Pinball's never really had the big thing. But pinball has grown by leaps. So once again, because of everything that Stern's doing, the little manufacturers doing, Wizard of Oz doing, once again, we got a chance for a leap here. Let's have another. Hey, I got this really cool shooter rod. Spider-Man. Who wants to win a Spider-Man shooter rod? Nobody. Three people. Yay! Hey, Mark, do you want to go see where the beer is? Yeah. Thank you. We're checking on the pinball parts. We are ready. I appreciate your help. 413. Congratulations, Kerry. You want to see it? Oh, man, I got too much to give away. I don't want this stuff back. Hey, we got this really cool X-Pin poster. Actually, we got five posters. Ross, come here. We need your help. Want to hold those up and model them for the people? Now, don't ogle Ross. Look at the poster. Ooh. Draw us five numbers, please.
Okay. Five, six.
Yep. Okay. These are little prizes, though, so we'll throw these back in the bucket for more stuff.
We won one.
Yay.
No,
you got to take one.
You're taking it. Okay.
390. Yay. Please come up here, sir. 407. Yay! Hang on to it. Yeah, hang on to it because we're going to, this is a little prize. We're going to throw your number back in a barrel so you can win some more neat crap. 337. Oh, yay! Yeah, people up front, win this stuff so Ross doesn't have to walk so far. 416. Yay! That's it. We do have one more. Sorry. You got to take it. That's the rules. You don't want me to demonstrate what happens to you if I don't like you. Hey, did you throw the numbers back in, though? Yeah, because that was kind of a little prize. I don't want to leave them out of something big. Like, say if we had a $25 gift certificate for Pinball Lifter, and you went to Bruce's thing, and you listened to Bruce's spiel, and you looked at his demonstration, you looked at his video, he had some free candy, and you decided, hey, you know, this guy's building some stuff that's going to save my knees, save my back. It's going to save me a lot of grief and work, and I want one of those. So let's have one of Bruce's gift certificates. 383. How can we be losing people this early? Have I been that bad? Well, you know, things happen. They got this big meeting for all the shows to get together so they don't conflict with each other's dates, even though they're going to conflict with each other's dates until hell freezes over. But anyway, they're at this big meeting, and we can't, you know, we're lucky we found a projector at this point. We have not found the beer yet. As soon as Mark comes back, though, we are going to deal with the pinball gal video. We didn't get that person? Oh, well, let's do for another pinball lifter gift certificate.
Okay, we got
399. 399. Dan Toft, yay! Another Minnesota boy. Any other great questions that have you wondered about pinball or coin up? Yes, sir. I got a variety of games, older ones, 50, your medieval manus type stuff, 75, new games, $1. And then three plays for $2.
But what about full play?
I've been $6 an hour for the last 20 years. You know, in 2006, when Hennepin County started, no smoke and just annihilated me, so there's no sense raising rates now. I mean, down the road, if you know, I can find money, get a new rug, recover the tables, get some things moving, eventually I'll probably go to $8 an hour. But we're changing as a people, something, too, I've discovered. In my area the last 4 years, from Rogers to Eau Claire to Shakopee, covering a huge area, it's been like 15 pool rooms closed. I'm not picking up players. Same with, look at how many bowling alleys have closed, or they got nights a week where you can bowl for free, get people in eating and drinking. Same at pinball. 3D interactive stuff is going by the wayside. We are changing as a people. You got to get 100, 200 years in the future to see if it's good or bad, but we're changing. More people sit home and watch baseball and football and go out and play it anymore. Pinball is probably the main thing now. I mean, pool is so dead, it's pathetic. Which is kind of funny. When the video fad flopped in 82, I was thank God we had pool tables. We were thinking of getting rid of them, but they carried us in the bad times. They ain't carrying us now. Oh, excuse me 1 second. No beer. Boy, it's nothing like stopping and buying $80 worth of beer, and plus if any beer was donated back there, and it's sitting on ice right now. And Mike's still in a meeting?
Cooler, right? Yeah.
Well, they're two big blue tubs and full of ice, if they ever got that far.
Yeah, they're looking from, but they're in the meeting. They're both in the meeting. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a room way back by the dock. Otherwise, why don't we do the pinball donut girl? What would you like? Try and wait. Oh, that isn't us. Hey, you're taking our other door prize. I suppose you're going to take my speakers and lights, too. In a minute. Thank you. Uh-oh. Bruce has a question. Yes, sir.
Who's the most famous person that's ever come into your place?
Todd McCulloch. No, I look at him as famous for a lot of reasons. He came in when he was still announcing for the 76ers. I don't know if he still does or not anymore, but at that time he was. He was in town to announce a game. He invited me down to the game. Okay, let's see. It's 8 o'clock at night. I close at midnight. I could not make that. And I don't really give a shit about basketball, but I'm thinking, you know, knowing this is Todd, he's an announcer, these tickets are probably right behind him. A basketball fan would probably kill for these. Unfortunately, I couldn't go. But if you ever get a chance to talk to Todd, besides just being like this huge, huge guy, he is as nice as he is big. I saw him at my place playing with complete strangers, playing with people he knew. He'd, you know, because he's got like two houses, one for video games, one for pinball. He would invite him to the house. He'd show him stuff to do on the game. Is by far, I would say, one of the nicest people I've ever met. Uh-oh. More good news. The kitchen help found the beer. No. Did you find it?
They're drinking it.
Probably bastards.
Well, now we know why the meeting to organize the pinball show dates is running later. They're drinking our beer. Gee, I hope this is one, too, where Mike reams me about having a lower attendance, and my show's just been blown out since square one. Why don't we do the pinball donut girl thing? We got this coolest lady here late, and you can find her on Facebook and pinballdonutgirl.com and various things. Anna Newman, lady's awesome. Watch her YouTube stuff. Watch about her. This is her first movie. It's an indie movie, which a lot of these things are really popular. I guess I'll sit down so we can watch a movie. About 10 minutes. We don't get the movie. The movie is coming out soon.
I did not see anywhere in there that there was no hurt pinball machine. You know, I didn't say with the dogs and everything like that. Animals, no animals.
No playfield tippers were injured in the making of this movie. Yeah, well, we got high hopes for it, though. I mean, it's Anna Newman's first movie. It's an indie movie. Those are usually pretty campy. You know, it's a good little chick flick, so every woman in the world's going to drag her guy to it. Guys, you're going to see pinballs. So for the most part, this is a good king thing. I mean, I disagree with a bitch breaking a back glass. Also, who's technical editor on this movie? Does every attack from Mars in the world have dirty red flipper rings? Get them on it.
I can't tell you. People ask about the pin bot in question. This is based on a true story, loosely based on Matt Walsh, who worked at Williams in the early 90s and late 80s. Oh, do I need this?
Yeah. I have an awesome voice.
You got to make it official.
Matt went to school in upstate New York, and this is loosely based on a real story. Matt worked at Williams for a few years before relocating out to the West Coast. He works at Intel now. And they both, her and Anna, work at DreamWorks. Anna does this on the side. This is a hobby. This is her first movie she's done. She's done shoots for other people. She's done commercials, things like that. And she just fell in love with the story. So the Pinbot in real life was a really nasty, broken-down machine that played but was dirty. So this is supposed to portray what machines are like out in the field, not movie-perfect machines. And you asked about the back glass. That was one of the most expensive parts of the film of the movie. There were squibs that were put in there which exploded remotely, and it was a special glass used just for that. And it took a lot of cleanup after all the explosion to do it, and they only had one take to do it. Everyone else was standing behind a curtain, except for the one actor there, which he was just taking a chance that nothing bad would happen because they weren't really sure what was going to happen. And it turned out it worked okay.
I
think so, yeah.
That's a possibility, too.
That's very true.
And we got some really great souvenirs from Anna just for us, just for this, and for us at Hold 'Em Up. And we got questions for this one. Where does the AFM used in the film normally live? Nobody wants
to. No one's going to know this one.
Pardon? At the Pinball Museum. Nope.
A good guess, though.
Okay, give Martin a flyer. Give Martin a poster. It's as close as we'll probably get. Who loans the laundromat where we filmed? No indie fans here?
Martin Scorsese.
That's close enough. Art Thomas, who played for the Raiders in the NFL. Want to give him a poster?
This is a good one. Shows if anyone's really paying attention. You can read the next one here.
Ooh. Who was paying attention?
Come on, it was only 10
Dave,
minutes.
Dave was. What pinball part does Julie wear as jewelry? Okay, guys, we got to admire them for more than other things. We got to admire them for their minds. What was she wearing? Yes, sir. Yeah, I didn't see either. Any other guesses? Anybody want one of these sheets to read? Okay, give the rubber rings one because that's as close we're probably going to get. She's wearing bumpers as bracelets. Oh, let's see. Oh, here's a good one. People here might actually get this one. We might awe and amaze ourselves with this crowd yet tonight. One of the greater disasters we've ever engineered. Where was the last scene shot and when?
That's big. Well, it wasn't really.
I suppose that's why the signs up that said Pinberg and stuff.
But it wasn't really. That's not Pinberg.
Yeah, it was.
Well, no, some of it wasn't. All right. The end was.
Here, give him a gift certificate. give him a poster. That's about as close as we're going to get.
It was filmed at Pinburg 2012.
Yep.
Ooh. Oh. Here's a really good one. We might yet get one, this one. We should give two prizes. Let's give another pinball magazine from Jonathan and the poster for this one. What is customized on the AFM machine you were seeing the ladies play? Oh, give him a poster. Yeah, but he didn't raise his hand. Here, give him a magazine. Give him a poster. Did you get that back there?
The Bill Unkit.
Bill Unkit. Saucer lights. The original Bill Unkit. We got one poster left. Uh-oh. Is the cafe radio station real?
50-50 chance.
There's a hand back there. I saw a hand. Okay, give him a poster. What was your guess, Dave? Oh, okay, then that works out. Otherwise, I was going to have to find you a prize. Ugh. Man, we got some cool stuff here yet, too. Oh, is Kim Mitchell here? Darn, we lost Kim Mitchell, too. Jeez, this is just going to hell in a handbag. Kim Mitchell, Round Crowd Productions, inventor of the world-famous glare guard. Woo! And he also, if you go to roundcrowdproductions.com, you see the mirrored Spider-Man back glass, all kinds of happy things. Can we have a number for another lucky winner, please? If you walk Taro, these also make great pooper scoopers. 392. Yay! Hey, do we have any more great questions while we're going through this? Yes, sir.
I would like to think that someone built my machine and get a relationship.
Hey, you're the guy. I saw pictures. You're the ball-headed guy with two gorgeous babes that you left back home. You didn't bring to Expo to share. When I was a child, I was brought up, if you aren't going to share, you don't bring out. And you're with these gorgeous babes, and you're wondering about if you tilt the game, if you get the babe. I don't know. Does that say here?
I've got a question here, but it's not on the sheet.
It doesn't say. I'll look into that next year when you bring the two models over for me to test. I'll give you your answer. What's your question, Mark?
All right. So everybody recognized Jane Wheedlin of the Go-Go's as a radio announcer? She
no.
also has acted in not real movies, but you know what I mean, big budget movies. This is related to a pinball show. Where was she born?
Her mom launched her.
It's not Wheeling, and it's not in Illinois, but we're close. No one? Yeah, in Wisconsin. What city? Not Milwaukee, but you're close. Who's been to Midwest Gaming Classic? Previous location.
Oconomowoc.
Oconomowoc.
And they moved it because nobody could pronounce Oconomowoc. Everybody could pronounce Brookfield.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
And she's also a huge Packers fan. That's what Anna told me, at least.
Oh, football.
Yeah, that sport.
I was still thinking that tilt thing. Hey, what's... Oh, that's yours. Sorry. Stop Rob it. Anthony. Hey, that reminds me. Hey, we need your help. You got a bucket? Dump the tickets out temporarily. Yeah, empty that one. Empty that one, please. Give that to Ross. Give this to Mark. I need you to go out and work the audience. We got a problem. If you can spare anything, hundreds, fifties, twenties, tens, fives, tens, ones, Rob Anthony, Beauregard, that does the board repair and everything. Now, everybody that's ever been to Expo knows that the vendors don't come out that good. You know, you got travel expenses, you got room, you board, everything else. If you go into Rob's room and you see those pretty pinball blankets on the wall, yeah, he got fined $1,000 for that. And there's over 60 holes in those walls prior to Rob, but he is getting nailed for that. So if anybody could throw in a few bucks to help Rob out, please do so.
Yeah, this is not a joke. Yeah.
No.
These are just little tiny push pins in the
wall. Hotel's claiming they got to redo the wallpaper. Please, give till it hurts. Brother Rob needs our help. He's got to sell taro. He can't afford to feed his dog anymore. I'm so sad. Please give till it hurts. The Church of the Silver Ball will repay you someday. No, really, like I said, I was in there counting holes with them, too. I stopped at like 25. But prior to Rob being there, there's like 60 holes in a while. I mean, it's just total bullshit they're nailing him. So if we can help him, please do. Now, of course, we got another problem, too, is I believe they're renegotiating the lease and stuff, too. So Mike's probably really going to be happy about all this shit, too.
And when we come here next year, we're expecting to have new wallpaper in that room, which there won't be, of course.
Yeah, but if Rob hangs anything, we'll be paying for that one again. Hey, I got an idea. Hey, I got an idea. To help raise some funds here, I was going to give drawings for these, but anybody that contributed, I've digging out stuff out of my house. I found a very rare collectible. I found 35-year-old SS Billiards mugs. You guys want to grab those? Everybody that threw some money in, want to give them a mug, please? I don't know if we're going to have enough to go around. Give the like to every other person or something until we get them howling, and then we'll have to do something else. I'll give away this laptop. Whoever contributes $100 or more gets this laptop.
State of Illinois might not be too happy with that, but hey.
Anyway, we were talking about the indie film. You know, when it comes out, go see it, promote it, support everything, because I think it's really, you know, one of those little things that once again can give pinball that little shove forward. And plus, if she has a really great career and everything else, maybe we'll see another pinball movie in the future.
And the pinball community is very heavily involved in making this film, especially on the West Coast. All the stunt playing you saw was done by Jerry Ellsworth. Most people know Jerry. She had to play with a huge camera, a periscope lens, on top of her, and she had to play the games like this, including the bang backs and all the stunts. So she did the stunt work. So all the playing you see is done by her. And she is very much involved in pinball and the Pacific Pinball Museum. You also saw Michael Sheese, who was around here someplace. He had a cameo in there, along with Jerry.
Yeah, where'd Kim Mitchell go? He wanted to introduce me to Michael Sheese again, even though I already met him.
I think they're still in that meeting. Well, Kim, I don't know.
Cleaning out my house. Found him. I did not find him, Oh, no, not my... Oh, well, just in case if the beer shows up, I've got my half-naked lady Las Vegas beer opener thingy, because usually every year we have to find one, and of course we almost gave it away. Oh, wait, we got another guy. He's got a beer opener, too. Yeah, we don't have beer, but we got openers. Can we get something? Woo-hoo-hoo! Who's here? Oh,
nice.
Blue shirt. Hey, would you go in and give this to Rob, please? Hey, whoa, yeah, go give that to Rob. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. It's like I say, you know, the vendors here, it's really tough, and to get nailed with something like that, it's really, you know.
His only choice was they were going to lock him out of the room if he didn't pay it.
Yeah.
Right then.
And,
there,
so. You know, when I get back to work on Monday, I'm calling a Weston management raising hell with this bullshit. But I really appreciate your help, folks. Thank you. Yeah. We love Expo. We want it there every year. And whoever decided to find Rob, you know, give him to Lloyd next year. We'll have this deal like a buck ahead. People can take a whack at the jerk.
Unfortunately, we have to find a hotel that's non-union.
Yeah, see, you got some problems in Chicago. A lot of them are union hotels. And once the hobby's involved, I can see for business, but like for hobby, you know, like if you'd have to have union people haul stuff in, union people set stuff up, union people tear stuff down, union people haul stuff out, you know, it could be a mess. So like when a Ramada all of a sudden got tore down and they had 3 months to find a new place and the Wyndham took them in, and that was a miracle. You got to rent stuff 13 months in advance in Chicago. So just relocating isn't that easy either. What else we got going? More stuff. Hey, we got buckyballs.
Dangerous.
These are dangerous buckyballs. Oh, wait. Before we get off on more prizes, any other great questions about the coin-op industry? Oh, excuse me. Martin Iab has a question. Martin Iab from Pinball News. What is your question?
We've heard from a couple of people up here on the stage saying that nobody carries cash anymore and everybody pays by credit card. But you're still a cash operation. So is that true?
Okay, Martin was pointing out that the country is pretty much paper and credit card and stuff, and I'm still a cash operation. Yeah. Well, there were two credit cards in there. Well, thanks, Rob. Wow, I got crap, too. What did I get? Oh, a Pinball Expo thingy. It's a diamond. It's real. Holy moly. I got to get that mounted and put it on my ring finger. Pinball Expo 2012. That's cool. Thanks, Rob. They must want me back next year. Hey, I wonder if the meeting's done.
Probably.
Hey, go check on the beer.
Find out.
I'm running out of shit to do here. I can read more factoids about the great movie. Oh, we'll leave Mark do that because he's a technical helper on that movie. We were doing the bike. Oh, wait. Forgot Martin's question entirely. I said you could ask questions. I didn't say they would be answered. Martin was asking that I'm predominantly cash. Now, I did pioneer the bill validators on pinballs in my area. Video games, pinballs, it's always been tough to put in money. You go up to a row of vending machines, they got the microwave, you know, your sex machine, your vibrator, your candy, everything they got, a bill changer. Vending makes it easier than anything. You can put something in, you're going home with something. Video games and pinball, it's just been insane. You got to fight them to put money in. Like I had a sit-down Afterburner, that and Asteroids was my two all-time grossing games. And Afterburner, it's a dollar a play, it was a sit-down, the simulator. You had 9 seconds to, you know, coin up again and continue. And if that thing had bill validator capabilities, that would have taken in four to ten times the money. Because there's 23 stages, and you come back in and land on the aircraft carrier. But when you put a quarter in, the 9 seconds didn't start over. You had 9 seconds to get four quarters in. So you had to have somebody stand outside. And like I say, in 92, I put a coin door on Adam's family and started that. There was an operator in our area. He had 16 Adamses out, 8 with validators, 8 without. The 8 with took in 50% more money. But now Martin was asking that, you know, my operation is strictly cash. It's worked for me. But I've always been out of step with everybody else. Now, I don't know. When I talk about things, I'm talking about, you know, it's not necessarily the industry as a whole, other place, anything else. I'm talking about my own personal, you know, experiences as my business. And being I've been doing this half century, 40 years at SS Billiards, I've outlived almost every manufacturer, operator, distributor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not the flaming idiot most people think I am. Pretty close, but not quite. But anyway, I've always been out of step with my industry. The height of the video game fad, I had an unlisted phone number. One of my sister's managers pointed this out years ago. You do everything backwards, everybody else, but somehow you make it work. And that's where I'm trying to get back to what works for me. And, you know, basically I've been on straight cash, and there's a reason for that. You know, like checks, if you take a bad check, you lose a customer. You know, if somebody comes up a couple of bucks short and you give it to them, they always come back, pay you back. It's a whole different world. So, you know, my business has evolved to the point where it is, but it is still strictly pretty much cash. But again, like I say, this may not work for everybody else. It's just that I'm generally out of step with things, but that's worked for me. Any other great questions? Yes, sir.
The older games are 50 cents. You talking EM?
No. The oldest game I've got right now is Police Force and Taxi. I have tried like the 8-Ball Deluxe. There was a time I wanted some of the older classics, you know, 8-Ball Deluxe, Centaur, things like that. I wanted a few EMs. They don't earn. Everybody wants this stuff until it comes time to open a cash box and look inside. And like I had an 8-Ball Deluxe. I spent like $1,500 on a game. Another grand for an NOS playfield when they weren't available. Had that clear coated, new plastics, new clear plastics, real bumper, new bumper caps, plus repainted a cabinet. I had over $3,000 into the restoration of this thing. I was doing, you know, $1-2 a week. And then, you know, running a 25-year-old game is just chewing up a ton of labor and maintenance and parts. I mean, even Tim Arnold found out, you know, when he had the original Pinball Hall of Fame at a couple hundred games, that was within months he was dumping the EMs and bringing in DMDs. Everybody wants this stuff, but don't earn. It's great for the collector. I mean, they're fun. I love the older games. You know, now everything, a team did it. You know, way back when, you had one guy design the analog computer, one guy design a shot layout, one guy design the artwork of the cabinet, one guy design the plastics, one guy design the back glass. You know, you weren't just playing a machine, you were playing that guy. You were against that guy. And, you know, we've lost a little bit of that. I mean, there's games I've loved, like Sitting Pretty and Harbor Lights and stuff and Foursquare. I mean, there's EMs I just love, but I'd have to have unlimited money and space to have them on location right now because they don't earn. Any other great questions? Okay, let's get back to Buckyballs. We need a lucky winner for the Buckyballs, please. This is another nice donation from Rob Anthony. In spite of having all the grief and shit and everything else, is donated stuff to our fund.
407.
Yay! Catch. Pardon? I don't know what the hell it is. Unlimited form, structure, stress relief, and more. Magnetic balls. I saw a movie like that once. Be sure and sterilize those. Hey, we got a really cool, that guy that was doing the multimeter school here somewheres. He gave us a multimeter. These things are the greatest things. You cannot live without them. Myself, I always have a cheap one, and then I got the really good Fluke. I use the cheap one in stray areas. In case I blow it up, I don't mind throwing the $5 one out. If I'd blow the Fluke up, I'd never have another Fluke. So here we are at the drawing for the multimeter. Hey, you said something. Usually you don't say anything until after the show.
417.
Oh, that'll be him. Would you give that to that gentleman, please? Hey, did you find out anything on the beer? Oh, this just keeps getting fucking better right along.
He said it was in the room, it was brought out here, and then someone must have taken it.
You know, times are really tough for me right now. Pass the buckets for Lloyd. I spent like $85-90 on beer that I can't afford right now just because I didn't have a lot of people donating beer to this show. And I wanted you people to have a nice time and have some beer, pinball parts, and have a great time. And now some ass, hey, you talked about seeing me wail on somebody's ass. I find out the cocksucker that took my beer. That motherfucker is dead. I'm going to go out and start nailing shit on the fucking walls out in the hall. Pinball blanket, shove this up your ass. What the fuck takes... Oh, man, they got my line in Kugel Honey Vice, too.
Uh-oh.
See, on top of all the, I had like the 24 packs, and I had the case of the Line and Kugel fall beers, and they had a Honey Vice in there, which about once every 2 years I have a beer, and I kind of wanted that, and I was going to steal that out of there. In fact, that's why I brought the bottle opener, and Boy, this show just keeps getting better. I suppose we're going to have trouble filling this hall next year. I suppose Mike's going to ask me tomorrow morning about 3 o'clock that, well, attendance seemed to be down. Well, geez, we had no projector, no show, no beer, no... And yet somehow we managed to have fun. Okay, let's give some more shit away. Hey, Bruce left. Let's give away another one of his gift certificates. Hey, if you get a chance to check out his... Hey, wait, we found beer? Is it refrigerated? Who would enjoy a warm beer? Hey, this gentleman, nicest guy in the world, but usually he never says a damn thing until after the show, and then you can't shut him up. This is twice in one show. Twice in one show. Yeah, we got all the guys that couldn't find Mike to give him beer, giving us beer. Hey, we got purple stuff. Ooh. Well, Ross, want to help? No, I don't think everybody's going to want a warm beer. Let's just give to whoever wants. This one's kind of cold. Well, come on up. Grab a beer, please. Because apparently my little helpers don't understand the thing to go out and give beer. Well, at least this wasn't a total waste. Pretty close, but not quite. Oh, this show just keeps getting fucking better. Hey, that other guy. Hey, where's that other guy that had that other opener? Yay! In spite of hardships... We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. You know, I had to steal that thing, too. It come from Las Vegas. No, it's free. I stole it. I said, no, where'd that guy just had the beer, that opener? Oh, he's over there. No, over there, Charlie. He's got a real opener. You're going to break that thing and kill me. Who wants a souvenir of one of the greatest LTG shows that burned, crashed, and burned? Have a drawing for this one. My half-naked lady Las Vegas busted opener. Thanks, Charlie. You're drawing. Hang on. Please, come up. Grab a purple thing. 351. 351, yay! Gary won the naked thingy. This is one of these parental discretion things. Hey, let's go over to Rob's room and trade these even up for cold beers. But it's half naked. Boy, this show just keeps getting better. I suppose I don't have to worry about coming back next year. And to think the Texas Pinball Festival was thinking of having me down. I can't wait till they hear this tape. And you want to have him where? We ain't bringing that shit out of Minnesota. Rob Anthony, that we did the fundraiser for, and I really appreciate you. Thank you very much for that. Had also donated us a special one lit hat. Could we have a drawing for a hat, please? And a hush fell over the crowd. 369. Ross, want to deliver that, please? Right there. Congratulations, sir. Hey, we got another Playfield Tipper gift, $25 gift certificate. We still got more purple crap? We are ready.
We have plenty of purple crap.
376. 376. We lost another one. A moment of silence for our fallen few. Okay. Hey, we got three gift certificates. Let's draw until we get rid of them before Bruce gets back. We're getting there. We're going to have to give out new numbers. 371. Ross, give that to that gentleman, please. So are you. Yes, sir. Yeah, we got two more. These are for the Playfield Tipper Bruce Nightingale $25 off gift certificate thingies. 400. Yay, John Junt. Less manly on the porn sites, he's more girly. 373. Yay. Want to give that to that nice lady? Thank you. Any more questions about coin-op, pinball, Martin Iab's sex life? You know, Martin Iab and his buddy Mike went to France one time. And Mike went to get a couple of beers, and it just happened they were at a nude beach. And Mike went up to get the beers, and he come back, and he's thinking, how am I going to find Martin? Finding an Englishman on a French nude beach is not hard. Wait. We got a question. Charlie, hey, I didn't even do my toast. Everybody hold your beer up. Beer up. To every kiss I ever snatched and vice versa. Okay, we did our toast. Charlie, what's your question?
Give me a rough estimate as to how many glass.
In my business? Charlie's questioning how many glasses have broken in my business. Let's see. There's one, two. I'm thinking here a second. Two so far. Now, one of them. Yep. One of them, Bram Stoker Dracula. I was cleaning, working something. I took the glass off, set it, and I got carpeted floors, set it against the wall, and it like melted into a million pieces. I thought, what in the? Now, I had, when I worked at Vance Carter, I had taken a glass off of they had a shelving, they had stacks of glass. I pulled a glass off, faced a jukebox, boom! Sounded like a shotgun went off. I had this shit all over the floor. And glass, if they over-temper it, will do this with sound waves. Well, anyway, I've got this glass in a million pieces. I'm thinking, I did not touch anything cold. I didn't miss anything. What in the fuck? The next day, I had this high-end speaker shop back there. Guy comes in and tells me, God, we got these bass speakers. It was like 4 feet tall. We could turn them so low, you could see the cones move, but you couldn't hear them. Well, buddy, you're breaking glass over here. What? Yeah, they weren't real happy about it, but they did buy me a new glass. I had to discuss it with them and explain it to them, and they bought me a new glass. And then second one, very classic, a Friday night about 7 o'clock, back when I was using the other door and I had four machines on the front, my Monster Bash. Nobody's in there. 7 o'clock Friday night, I'm bored. Ooh, a burned out bulb. I'll fix that. Take the rail off, slide the glass. I had the glass maybe about a foot out, just crumbled. Okay, now people started coming in. Good. I've got... No spare playfield glass here. I've got glass all over the floor for people to walk through, and it's going to take me hours to vacuum this shit out of the game. So I've had two pinball playfield glasses broke there. I had one Sega Cowboy video mechanical game glass accidentally broke. This was a mechanical game I had borrowed from my father. Hauled it down 32 flights of stairs on a trailer, crossed town, bounced it up curbs, hauled it inside my business. I pulled this thing on carpeting, on wheels. I moved it about a foot, and it had the display glass. Fell out on the floor and broke into a million pieces. And I shoved it all back together, and I spread it with an epoxy, and I put clear plastic on it and picked it up. And it looked like a stained glass window, but it was kind of pretty. So I've had two playfield glasses broken there and then that glass. It's just one of those things you don't think about. It's kind of a cool question, I got to admit, but it's just something I just never think of. We have another wrong crowd, Glare Guard. Hey, we only had two of these, and I think we've given three away. Well, if anybody got one and didn't get one, just tell Kim Mitchell he owes you one. Hey, we still got more beer up here if anybody wants one. 362. 362. I think this is why we keep giving this one away. Oh, wait. Congratulations, sir. What else should we get rid of here? Bottle opener. Hey, I got this, I had these Pinball Circus things and nobody ever picked it up, so I thought I'd give it away here. I got this really cool Xbox 360 wireless control. It was donated by somebody at the Pinball Circuses. I don't remember who, but it was a real nice guy. And they had, hand-delivered them, Microsoft did. And so I thought, well, since nobody ever picked it up and I'm not really giving anything away at the Fall Circus that I know of, we'll have a drawing here for the Pinball Circus unpicked up prize. Yes, sir. 409. Yay! Congratulations, sir. So have we got any other great questions? Yes, sir. Not that I know of. A gentleman's asking me about what families are doing if they're staying home playing Xbox, Wii, whatever. I don't know what they're doing. You know, one thing that amazed me way back in, I don't know, maybe the early 1980s, a friend of mine calls me up before Christmas, 2 weeks before, and he wanted to know if I had any connections. His kids, he had four kids, each one gives a list of what they want Santa to bring them for Christmas. His oldest son, his namesake, only had one thing, Nintendo Tecmo Football. And I told him, Jesus Christ, Jim, the impossible, give me 2-3 months. 2 weeks is not a lot of time for the impossible, but I'll see what I can do. And the thing that amazed me at that time was I canvassed all my customers because even at that time I just assumed at the rate I was losing customers that everybody had a home system of some kind. Nobody. I couldn't find one person that had home games. And I think the thing is true today. So there's two different markets out there. And one thing that my industry, I've been not a fan of a lot of things in my industry. The first is it's coin-op entertainment. You know, you're supposed to come into my place, throw in a couple of quarters, have a fucking blast, have a great time, have some fun. And especially like in the mid-90s when we're seeing a kind of a big downturn in the industry, economy's getting tougher, people are working harder, they're working longer, they want to come and have some fun. They weren't having fun. It's coin-op entertainment. It's not coin-op job. Yes, sir. You know, see, the problem is you've got a segment of the population sits home no matter what. In my industry, during the video fad years, as a classic example, they were making Dungeons and Dragons games to get the board-playing guys out of the basements and into the arcades. Never happened. You got a certain percent of the population is going to sit home no matter what. It's just a waste of money going after them. There are people going out every day doing stuff for fun. That's the guys that are the guys and ladies that are going out. That's where you got to figure out what they want. That's your market. Waste your money on where it's going to do you some good, not on where it's not going to do you any good. But, I mean, just as when you were bringing up about games and stuff, it just amazed me how many people you talk to don't have games. It's just, you know, weird out there. Well, see, you know, and we're also, as you know, every generation wants something else. When I was a child, it was toy trains and dolls. You know, the kids are, pardon? Do you think I got this way being normal? Ask your mom. Shut his ass up. But anyway, no, and then, you know, there's a generation grew up with arcades, and a lot of them now are buying pinballs and video games and stuff. You know, the kids today are texting. I mean, every, you know, like Jason Ruffer, the Minnesota Pinball Hall of Fame guy, you know, a really nice guy and stuff. I remember years ago he couldn't understand why his kids didn't like pinball. It's not that they don't like it. It's that they aren't into it. It's not what they're into. Any more great questions? Yes, sir.
Do you still have that Monster Bash? Or are you going to put it back out there?
No, I no longer have Monster Bash. I sat this July. I had to recover a really horrendous July again. And, you know, when you're sitting there with nobody in there and you reflect on things that work and things that don't work, where I can try to improve, where I made mistakes. One thing for damn sure, I should have raised prices 3-4 years sooner. And some of the key games like Monster Bash, Indiana Jones, Safecracker, I could have probably kept them or kept them longer. I mean, everything that's there right now is what I've got. I mean, we're hanging on by the last fingernail, but we're still hanging on. I got like 3,640-some days to the 50th anniversary. Now, I'm going to be there. I don't know if you guys are, but I'm going to be there. But anyway, no, and there are games that, you know, like if I had unlimited money and could bring them back, there's games I'd replace. Theater Magic could be high on the list, Safecracker, Monster Bash. There's some games I wouldn't replace, like Circus Voltaire. I had a mint one. Everything worked, a high power, high wire act, only dropped one ball at a time, everything. That thing was sitting there doing a half a buck a week. There's a real reason Williams closed it out. Might be a terrific home game, and it was on the end row, and I stared at that thing every day thinking, man, that's 2 months' rent sitting there, and that thing is doing shit. That thing's out of here. So there are games I would replace. There are games that I wouldn't even dream of replacing, unless I had, you know, money to burn and needed to do it. Any other great? Oh, there's another hand back there. Yes, sir.
Does the game's location itself within your arcade make a difference in how it runs? Can you just move it to another aisle and change it?
Generally not. Now, there have been some surprises through the years. Like back when I was using the other door and I had the counter going the other way and I had 4 games along there. Well, a gentleman was asking about if where I put a game might affect how it gets played or not. And the one corner next to the counter was always kind of a dead corner. And way back when Ted East had told me if I got in a Demolition Man, he'd give me the dirty ROMs for it. This was like, you know, years ago before anybody knew about them or heard about them. But he'd loan me a set for the parties. And they're free play only, so you couldn't run them commercial. Well, I had picked up a Demolition Man. He had the ROMs online that nobody knew about, so I could download them, and then he pulled them off. put them in the game. I had it for an event. Well, afterwards, I just changed the game ROM because it's either free play or not. Not, it won't know to call up all the dirty words and scenes and stuff. But then I thought, well, I've got this Demolition Man. I never had one before. It's all shopped and clean. I put it in the worst corner in the room. It did good there. So, you know, it's not so much that you can move a machine around and find a spot for it. On the other hand, you might find a machine that will make a spot better, if that sounds like anything reasonable. I mean, a lot of times I don't, you know, like a lot of people, like you'll see on the various forums when they, you know, burned out a light bulb. Oh, how come it happened? You know, see, I don't worry about shit. You know, it happens. You deal with it. You move on. I don't worry about the what fors. Any other great questions? We still got some beer up here if anybody wants one. Uh-oh, Charlie's back. Huh? Uh-oh. Oh, yes, sir.
How many plays do you get on a game before you have to shot them, and what does it cost you to shot them?
Gentleman's asking how many plays on a machine before I shop, and then how much it costs to shop a game. Well, right now it pretty much doesn't cost me anything to shop a game because this isn't like the old days where I had thousands of dollars of spare parts laying around, and when I go through, I do everything. You know, generally I go through, regardless of games gotten played a lot or not, I go through about once a week and do quick cleans on a play field. They usually get major teardown about once a year, and it varies, you know, from game to game and stuff. You know, and then like a week before an event, I always panic and try and get everything done, and then everything goes to complete shit, and then you're doing quick cleans again, but... I mean, there was a time years ago, and, you know, this is probably about once every 6 months to 12 months to do a complete teardown, you know, completely rebuild the flippers, this, that, and everything else. We ain't got the budget for that right now. So, you know, my games are clean, my games work, things are fully functioning, but I take a lot of shortcuts. You know, new plunger assembly, oh, hell no, we can grind the end off of that and start over new, you know, things like that. I mean, you know, times are, you know, and I'm not whining or crying about my situation or anything, but this is reality I live with, and this is, you know, what I could do to make ends meet. Yes, sir.
One that's got low play, one that's got high play, but at the end of the year, pretty much doing both.
Yeah, gentleman is asking whether they get low play or high play, if they get about the same treatment, pretty much. Because even, you know, of course now I don't, you know, the one thing after 2006, I don't have the smoking. But prior to that, you know, the amount of play didn't matter. They were going to be dirty. But now you still got little things. You know, you get ball running around, you get dust, you get dirt. You know, it's like when the guys did the pinball on a stick years ago and I mentioned the little things that, you know, if you got a drive fair, you know, then 2-3 days, that game's going to be full of grit and dirt and stuff. If you got a wet fair, you're going to be hauling stuff out of there rusted. I mean, a lot of it's a situation where they are and stuff. Any other great questions? Yes, ma'am.
What's your least favorite game to maintain?
My least favorite game to maintain? my own personal favorite, the Laserdisc games. If we're going to pull a least favorite, I would, if you want to, don't mind us stemming away from pinball briefly. When the video fad was tanking, we saw the advent of the Laserdisc games. Oh, good, they cost twice as much, and you spend $1,500, $1,800 a year to keep the Laserdiscs going. I always swore that kicked the video fad off the cliff quicker than anything else. And then there was sneaky little things, like I had a sit-down Milestar Mach 3, and you take the Laserdisc player in and be $1,500, $1,800 to rebuild it, but you had a 90-day warranty, and I'd usually get about a year out of it. 33 days goes down. Take it back in. Oh, we only warranty them for 30 days now. You know, when you make a major change like that, you don't think of fucking telling anybody? Jesus. And then there was a question on a killer list of video games recently, what the most indestructible, whatever, best built video game cabinet was. The sit-down Mach 3, hands down. That thing was like double-sheathed, 3/4-inch plywood, bolts, screws, nails, glue. I spent a half an hour with a sledgehammer on this thing, and there was some little trim molding in front of where the monitor would be. All I did was knock it off. This thing is on wheels, and I'm contemplating hauling it out and throwing it on a freeway because somebody's going to mow it down and you know, bust it into pieces I could deal with. I finally had a 7.5-inch circular saw to it. I burned up 4 blades cutting this thing into pieces I could throw into a dumpster. And then the monitor I put in Wizard of War, is, you know, I had a beautiful VGA, like type beautiful, gorgeous picture monitor, and I put it in Wizard of War. And Midway used the cheapest monitors they could, and I wouldn't necessarily blame Midway because they're building 100,000 of this, 50,000 of that. They were having trouble getting monitors. But when the monitor is in there, it's okay, but when I put this one from Mach 3 in there, the colors were better. You could see their eyes. You could see them spitting the bullets. It's really cool. I didn't know all that programming was in there. But anyway, you know, I don't think I got really have a pinball that I, you know, least care about. I mean, there's some, like Demolition Man was always a puzzle getting the ramps back in. For whatever reason, Medieval Madness, every time I've ever shot that game, I almost always forget to plug the ramps in. You know, somebody will be playing it, and, hey, Lloyd, this isn't working. Ah, damn, did it again. I don't know why I'm stuck on that one. But once in a while you get, but I can't say that I really have a pinball idea. If I was going to have one, I dislike from the past to be Safecracker. Because that game, you know, it's only 2 1/4 inches narrower, but anything you want to work on, you got to take something else apart to work on. And then Williams, to help us, lubricated. They greased the drop targets in that game. So on a regular basis, you're going to be in there stripping these things apart and cleaning all that grease out of there. And grease isn't quite as bad as WD-40, but it is pretty close. I mean, I have completely stripped those assemblies, soaked them in lacquer thinner, everything else, put them back together. Month later, the drop targets are getting sluggish. You open it up, it's like they got greased again. I don't know where the crap come from. And when I put them back together, I don't use grease on drop targets. But, you know, it's like I had a Banzai run that day, WD-40'd every plunger in that game. All new plungers, all new coil sleeves. Month later, is all gunked full. And there's some of these things that are just like cancer, and they don't belong in pinball machines. But anyway, if I was going to pick a game for working on, it's Safecracker. Because anything you got to work on, you got to take something else apart to get at it. Any other great questions? We're running out of questions. Hey, let's give away this really cool T-shirt. Mark, would you do me the favor? This is from the Seattle Pinball Museum. Is that guy still here?
Charlie?
We lost him. This is a really cool guy, and they got this really pretty museum, and we got the shirt. What size is the shirt?
XL.
Okay, we can give this one away. I'm a 2XL. Can we have another drawing, please?
Yeah, 374.
Yay! That's a guy asking about my sex life. Sure sounded like it to me. Hey, we got another really cool deal. Anybody else want a beer? We still got some left. Come on, we're running out of steam. We're running out of questions. I've got the guy that, I forget his name now, and of course I probably didn't bring him with. Hey, would you run up to my room and get my sheet of paper? Well, yeah, well, I wrote all this stuff down so I wouldn't forget it, except for I forgot the list. This is the D-Rock guy. And he makes the PIG, the Pinball Interactive Gadget Device. If you're adding all these mods and stuff to games, this is, like, really cool. You can plug them all into it. But the same guy gave me something else, and we're going to do the something else first. He's got one of the... Mike from DK Pinball. Oh, he's right here. Hey, would you want to come up and tell people about the PIG and your Tron thing, please? You know, better than me fucking it all up, we're better off to have this guy tell you. We're going to do the Flynn's Plastics first thingy, the Tron Arcade. With, he's got this really cool adapter, because if you don't have the pinball machine, you can plug it into your outlet and use it on your desk.
Yeah, so it's just like a backlit neon Flynn's sign, Flynn's Arcade sign for your Tron pinball machine. And if you don't have the Tron pinball machine, yeah, you can just use the transformer to put it on your desk or something as decoration. And the other thing is the pinball interface gadget, the PIG. And what that is for is... it allows you to plug your 12 and 5 volt mods into the board, and then it's got leads that you can go to pretty much anywhere in your pinball machine. You can go to switches, insert lights, the GI, flashers, all these places, and not worry about 20 volts, 24 volts, 12 volts, 5 volts, AC, DC. It doesn't worry about any of those things. You don't even have to worry about the polarity. You just connect it to that and then connect your mod to the other side and it'll flash or, you know, do whatever the game is doing along with that. So,
hey, do you do that Family Guy sign mod or whatever to Clam Shack or something?
No.
Oh, well, then I won't ask you for a free one of them. Anyway, we got, I didn't see this was here, the DK Custom Pinball. Do you have a display here or anything?
No.
Oh, well, it's caller, I'm over time. Sitting over here in case you got any questions about stuff because, like, that pig thing is, like, really cool. Could we have a drawing for the Flynn sign, please? $397. Dan Toft again. He won one of the little prizes, and now he won one of the major prizes. Would you present that to Mr. Toft, please? The Scissor Baron.
Thank you. Yeah.
You wouldn't know it to look at him, but this man murders scissors. Hey, we lost Ross. He's way back there. Everybody say hi, Ross. Hi, Ross! Any other great questions? Anybody else want a beer? Well, we're winding down, so why don't we do the pig? This was a little scary, too. Because years ago when I had the goose parties, I had the bring your own goose party, and I immediately changed that to bring the your own inanimate goose, because I could see after the toad, I could see somebody bringing a real goose in and leaving him go. And this guy said, hey, Lloyd, I'll donate a, on Pinside, he posts, I'll donate a pig. Yay! And then I got thinking, well, I'm known for doing the famous Dave Ribs. Is he bringing food? And I thought, oh, shit, he ain't bringing a real pig up here, is he? I mean, I didn't even think of this pinball interface gadget. I'm thinking, oh, man, Mike's, if I got a pig running around here, Mike's going to be apeshit. But anyway, he's got this really cool pinball interface gadget thingy, and I really appreciate donating. Thank you. Number 380. Uh-oh, we better draw again. This ain't bad considering how much we screwed this show up that we still got anybody left here. 363. Yay! I'm not going to give that over to her. Any other great questions or anything? Well, then I suppose we may as well wrap it up. I think we've done as much damage as possible. I know you people want to get out and buy stuff. And uh-oh, wait a second. Oh, shit. That's mine. I'm putting this on eBay. You want to hold that up, please? Say, we also had like another awesome prize that I completely forgot about, and it's a good thing we didn't leave this laying here. Jack Guarnieri donated a Translite and signed it. I saw him sign it. No, actually, I didn't. But that's really Jack Guarnieri, and you can use like lighter fluid or something, get it off there, and then eBay this thing. No, don't use lighter fluid. Don't take it off. Anyway, the Wizard of Oz Translite. These things, I don't know if they have them for sale here or not, but I know if you go to the website, it's like a $129 item. Bruce is back. Bruce didn't find her beer. Would you pull a drawing, please, for the Wizard of Oz Translite? I know nobody here wants to win this. Here's the lucky number. Wait a second. Let's make this one official.
357.
Yay! Jack would have loved that if they come up here later and this thing was laying here. Any other questions or anything? Oh, you want your ring piece? Mine. What? I'm sorry? Any other questions? Anything? We may as well wrap it up. Yeah, wait a second, though. You know, I really appreciate you coming and bearing through the worst LTG show we've ever weathered. I don't know what we're going to be able to do next year to possibly fuck it up any worse than this was. But we did come together in the name of pinball. We get to leave as friends, and I thank you for that. Thank you for coming.